There are quite a few people in the congregation who are sick this morning, and one of them is Sharon, so please keep her in your prayers. And, you know, there are a lot of people in the praise team that do a lot of things kind of behind the scene, and Sharon is one of those people. And Vic didn't notice it, but I certainly did back on the board. Our mics got switched this morning. So this morning I'm Vic and Vic's pastor, and that is just how it's going to be. But keep Sharon in your prayers, and hopefully she'll be back and feeling better. We're going to be in the book of Mark this morning, Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. And I'll ask you to stand in a moment, but, well, patience, if you want to stand, stand, brother. Go ahead and stand up, please. We're going to be in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. There's nothing wrong with being enthusiastic in church. All right, Mark 10, 46 through 52. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. This is the word of God. You may be seated. As people, we have many needs, but one of the most pressing needs that we have is for God's mercy. We need God's mercy, and we need God's salvation. We're at the end of chapter 2 in the book of Mark, and what I was going to say earlier is that we're probably going to take a break from Mark after this, because after this we get into the triumphal entry, and I might want to save that for spring. But we'll see kind of where the Lord leads in the next few weeks. Jesus and his disciples at the end of chapter 10 arrive and then depart from Jericho. They're on their trek towards Jerusalem and to the cross. There is a large crowd that is going with them on their way to Jerusalem during the Passover time. And on the side of the road is Bartimaeus. Now, Bartimaeus, there's an issue that I have with the translation, and if we don't get it out of the way, it's just going to be pressing on my mind the whole time. So I just want to address this, and then we can move on. Bar is an Aramaic term meaning the son of. So Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. It's used kind of during this time as kind of a last name because lineage in the Jewish culture was so very important. So I would be Adam, son of John, because that is my lineage. My father's name was John. In Matthew 16, Jesus refers to Simon as Simon Bar-Jonah, meaning the same thing, Simon, son of Jonah. So when we read verse 46, and it says, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, what it's really saying is, son of Timaeus, the son of Timaeus. So it's a little redundant, but just for clarity's sake, because our translation uses Bartimaeus, we're going to use Bartimaeus. I just wanted to get that out of the way. So these are the kinds of things that bother you when you're studying the Word of God. And now that we've addressed it, we can move on. Bartimaeus is a blind beggar. And when he hears that Jesus is near, he begins to cry out. And he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many in the crowd that are passing by and that are near him tell him to be quiet. Bartimaeus is not deterred, however, and he cries out all the more to Jesus, even louder, so that Jesus on the road stops and commands them to bring Bartimaeus to him. And Bartimaeus tosses aside his garment. This would have been a cloak or a jacket that he had, an outer garment of clothing. And he casts that aside and comes to Jesus. And Jesus asks him the same question that he asked James and John, the sons of thunder, earlier in the chapter. What do you want me to do for you? And when Jesus had asked James and John, their response had been to sit on either side of him in his glory. Jesus had denied that request because it was not within his power to grant that. For him, it was God who decided who would sit on the left and on the right side of him in glory. So Jesus asks Bartimaeus, and Bartimaeus responds to the same question with, "Teacher, that I may receive my sight." This, as well as Bartimaeus, as he is crying out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me," is his request. He would like Jesus to grant him his sight, and he would like Jesus to grant him mercy. Jesus performs the miracle, displays his compassion to Bartimaeus, his power, and his deity, because he is God. And that is what we're going to look at this morning. Jesus and his disciples have come to Jericho on their way to Jerusalem. And if you're looking at a map, Jericho's kind of at the base of the hills that lead up into Jerusalem. And there is a great multitude following Jesus. Some are following Jesus and some are heading to Jerusalem for Passover. Now, the Hebrews were instructed to make 3 pilgrimages to Jerusalem a year. In the summer for Shavuot, the giving of the law, and in the autumn for Sukkot, which was the commemorating of the Israelites being sheltered in the wilderness, and in the spring they traveled to Jerusalem for Passover. Now, it has been estimated by some scholars that something like 10,000 lambs would be slaughtered just within the temple alone during Passover. So you can imagine this mass migration of people into Jerusalem for the Passover. Jesus was making the pilgrimage with his disciples, and they were not alone on the road. As they're passing through Jericho on their way to Jerusalem, Jericho was known as an oasis city. It had a very warm climate and it had very fresh water springs there. So it was a pleasurable place to stop, to rest, to water your animals if you had them with you. And Herod had even built his winter palace there. They pass through Jericho and they're heading on their way up to Jerusalem, going up in elevation, and they come across the beggar. Now, we are not told how Bartimaeus became blind, but we can speculate that his blindness was more than likely the reason for his begging. When you were being in this kind of time, in this part of the world, if you were blind, you were hindered in the things that you could do in order to support yourself, in order to just feed yourself each and every day. And many of the blind, the lame, the afflicted became beggars. We've spoken also in the past of the widely held belief during this time that in the ancient times, if you suffered affliction, you were under some sort of divine judgment. You were cursed, in a sense. When Jesus called the religious elites the blind leading the blind in Matthew 15, in their way of thinking, it was almost a double insult. Not only do they not see what they are doing, what they are teaching, what they are leading, but they are also cursed of God. They were cursed, and so too were those that they were leading. And just we know that because Jesus said it, that that was absolute truth. To the crowd, those walking along the road, those standing along the road, Bartimaeus in their minds is cursed. On the lowest rung of the social order, down there with us Gentiles and the tax collectors. And Bartimaeus hears that it was Jesus of Nazareth on the road. And he begins to cry out to him. But he doesn't cry out, Jesus of Nazareth, but rather, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The Son of David is a messianic title. Bartimaeus had heard about Jesus, had believed what he had heard about Jesus, and knew exactly who Jesus was. Like his disciples, he had come to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And when you recognize the Messiah, you call him by a messianic title, Jesus, the Son of David. Bartimaeus knew Jesus was the Messiah, who would be the heir of David's throne, the King of Kings, one greater than even David himself. That is why the Bible places such importance upon the genealogy of Christ. He can be traced all the way from Christ to David, and from David all the way back to Adam. If we flip over to Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 33, let's read about what an angel said to Jesus' mother about Jesus. Luke chapter 1, 30 through 33. I'm at the end of Luke. I need to get to the beginning. Then the angel said to her, that's Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. There's God himself through an angel telling Mary that Jesus would be the Son of David. Jesus was the Son of David, in fact. He is the Messiah. So Bartimaeus, even though he is blind, recognizes Jesus as the disciples, as the disciples did, that Jesus is the Messiah. But he also, in his cry, recognizes his need for mercy. Every single one of us has a need for God's mercy, whether we recognize it or not. And what Bartimaeus is saying in this cry, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He is recognizing not only that Jesus is the Messiah, but that Jesus is the only one who can provide him with mercy. The simple fact that we all are in need of salvation, even those on the road needed salvation. We in our day and age need salvation, and Bartimaeus understood that. He cries out to the only one who can save him, and that is Jesus. And when he cries out to Jesus for mercy, many in the multitude along the road and those by him tell him, command him, in fact, to be quiet. He was not seen as someone who was worthy to speak to Jesus. kind of similar to earlier in Mark when the children are brought to Jesus and the disciples rebuke those who brought them. Sadly, children can often be overlooked and not seen as worthy of someone's time or attention. And that is certainly how the multitude saw Bartimaeus. You're a blind beggar, cursed of God, on the side of the road. You have no right to call upon the great teacher, the great Jesus, the great Messiah. Bartimaeus, however, would not be deterred. He believes everything that he has heard about Jesus. He has everything that he needs for salvation. He recognizes who Jesus is, the Messiah, the only one that can bring him salvation, the only one that can show him mercy. And he recognizes who he is. He is a sinner on the side of the road, and he is in need of God's mercy. So he cries out all the louder to Jesus, the only one who will show mercy on him, Jesus the Messiah. Anyone who has been saved of God can relate to Bartimaeus' cry for mercy. For once we were blind, and those of us who have been saved now can see. Those who have not cried out to Jesus for mercy live in a state of perpetual spiritual darkness. Perpetual spiritual blindness. Bartimaeus believes in Jesus. We see that in his cry to the Messiah. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He wouldn't ask if he did not believe that Jesus was in fact the Messiah, and that Jesus, in fact, was the only one that could help him. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus on the road hears the cry of Bartimaeus, and he stops and commands them, those in the crowd, to bring him over. And it's interesting that in the crowd, we see a 180-degree shift in their way of thinking. They go from commanding Bartimaeus to be quiet to rise, Bartimaeus, be of good cheer. He is calling for you. Bartimaeus throws aside his garment. This would have been an outer garment. He would not have been naked before Jesus, or we would have read about it. Translated from the Greek, it is an outer garment. He throws this aside. He gets up and he is led to Jesus. Now, many of us in our salvation story, we're not in those stories alone. There is usually another who has led us, who has taught us, who has helped us in our way along our path to coming to Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit working in that process, but usually we can point to people who were in our lives at that time, who guided us, who directed us. That was God working through them to guide us to Jesus. And now Bartimaeus is standing beside, in front of Jesus, beside the road. And Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus had called to Jesus to have mercy on him. And when he is asked, he replies, "Teacher, that I may receive my sight." As I've said before, when we get saved, our eyes are opened and we go from spiritual blindness to understanding the spiritual reality. Unlike James and John, who only wanted to exalt themselves, Bartimaeus just wanted mercy and his sight restored to him. And he received that from Jesus and so much more. According to Matthew's account, the parallel account, Jesus reaches out and touches Bartimaeus' eyes, and he is healed. Perfect vision, 20/20, whereas before he had been completely blind. And Jesus says, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Bartimaeus had received not only his sight, but also his salvation. He was once blind, and now he can see. But it is more than just spiritual, it is more than just physical sight that he has received. He's received spiritual sight as well. I'm going to flip over to Luke. We're still in Luke. Luke chapter 18, 43. This is the parallel account in Luke. 18:43, and immediately he, Bartimaeus, received his sight, and following him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This is a perfect illustration of somebody being saved. One who is repentant and cries out to the Lord, "Have mercy on me." They believe in Jesus and God saves them. And afterwards, he walks with Jesus, glorifying God. Bartimaeus was once blind and cried out to Jesus to have mercy upon him. Jesus entered into his life, touched him, and he was saved. And he followed Jesus after that. Jesus had told him, "Go your way." And after that, his way was with Jesus. Flipping back to Luke 15:10. I was thinking about how, when we are saved, what happens? 15:10 gives us a little bit of an answer. Joy in the presence of angels. 15:10. Likewise, and this is Jesus speaking, "Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents." Isn't that an amazing thing to think about? When we got saved, the angels rejoiced. There was joy in heaven over the fact that we had received our salvation, that we had become children of God, because as sinners, we couldn't save ourselves. Christ was the only one. Christ did. We were saved, and the angels rejoiced. Amen. Do we recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as his disciples did, as Bartimaeus did? Do we truly believe, as they did, that he is the promised deliverer? The Bible tells us that the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. Do we know him as Savior? If we are here and we have questions, we are in the right place. If you have questions, please come and talk to us. We cannot save you, but we can answer any questions that you may have. We can come alongside you and help you to find Jesus if you do not know him as Lord and Savior this morning. It will be the most important conversation you will ever have. Jesus heard the true cry of a repentant heart. As sinners, we are deserving of nothing except hell. Christ, in his mercy, heals our blindness, and we see things as they truly are for the first time. He heard our desperate cry in our spiritual darkness and He responded. He saved us. He was able to do that because He is God, and because of the price that He paid on the cross for us, a willing sacrifice for God, for our sins, to assuage His wrath. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the example that we have in Bartimaeus. I thank You for the blessing that we have, that we can know You. We can cry out to You, and You not only hear us, Lord, but You respond to us. Because we have been saved, we are Your children. I pray that You bless us as we go from this place, rejoicing in the fact that You are God and that You have saved us. And we pray for any in this sanctuary who may not be saved, that today may be the day of salvation for them. And we ask all this in Jesus' name, amen.